From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, while we celebrate our independence, the Biden administration lets Russia threaten our way of life, and China continues to flex its muscles. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Thursday's edition of Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins was joined by Representative Michael Waltz of Florida to talk about the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party, as well as the administration's handling of Russia.
Congressman Waltz, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good to be with you, Tony.
Now, I know this is the land where we got the art of war from Sun Tzu. Is this bluster, or should we be listening what the communist Chinese leader is saying?
Well, I think it's both. It's bluster for his own domestic audience. But the capabilities that Chinese are developing from a military sense are very serious. I don't think a lot of Americans fully appreciate that the Chinese Navy is larger than the U.S. Navy now. They're cranking out ships at a rate of one about every 6 weeks, or 5-to-1 in terms of comparing it to the United States. And further, they can concentrate their ships in the Western Pacific. Ours are spread all over the world. But the piece that has me even more concerned than that is what they're doing in space. They've launched more into space than the rest of the world combined the last 2 years, and they've developed weapons to be able to take our satellite constellations out. Why is that so serious? Well, our entire modern economy is dependent on those constellations up there, from telecommunications to real-time logistics, agriculture, finance, you name it, weather. It's all dependent, but ours is older, less defendable, bigger, and easier to take down. So those two things alone have me incredibly concerned. We're not making the investments that we need. Frankly, the Biden administration is taking us backwards after 4 good years of catch-up under the previous administration.
I also believe, if I'm not mistaken, I was looking through this, China gets about $1 billion, I think, from the World Bank, supposedly to lift people out of poverty. America puts in about $1 billion into to the World Bank. How is it that they are an economy that's about to overtake ours? And according to the communist leader, Xi Jinping, China will soon have the world's greatest fighting force. We're funding it.
We are funding it. It's through the World Bank. It's through, through the manufacturing that's left the United States and is sitting over there, through our trade deficit that President Trump was trying to wrestle and take on. Even though this one really blows my mind, the military's retirement plan, its 401k plan called the Thrift Savings Plan, $700 billion in assets, is investing into Beijing. So here we have our soldiers and sailors sending money into, back home out of their paycheck into retirement. It's going right back over into the shipyards, aerospace companies, and robotics companies that are listed on the Beijing Stock Exchange. It literally is our money that's financing our greatest industry. And it's not just that pension plan. 22 state pension plans invest heavily into the Beijing Exchange. So it is our taxpayer dollars that are flowing over there. And then on top of that, they're stealing our research. They're stealing the most advanced algorithms, advanced materials, nanoelectronics, nanotechnology, that our taxpayer dollars are funding in our universities and research institutions to develop the latest and greatest technologies. The Chinese just steal it right out the back door. So it's just across the board. They have flooded the zone with their money through the mechanisms to steal technology. We have to wake up as a country. They have declared a cold war on the United States years ago, and we've just been asleep at the switch. Fortunately, President Trump started to shift the huge federal institutions, agencies, Wall Street, sports, others, in the right direction, and now Biden's just moving us backwards.
Congressman Waltz, we're up against a break, but I want you to stay right there because I want to finish this conversation, because I have one word to describe what we're doing. It's called insanity. Why would we do this? I want to talk about that next, and also might try to touch on Russia, because Vladimir Putin also issuing some threats to the U.S. What's behind it? Why this foreign aggression all of a sudden? Do they see something? We're going to talk about it next. Folks, stay with us. Congressman Mike Waltz of Florida represents the 6th Congressional District down there. He's with us next. Hope you stay around. Don't go away. What other trip to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, President of Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible 9 days in Israel during the Easter season with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, myself, and others from April the 5th through April the 15th. You'll discover the roots of your faith and learn from experts about the geopolitical landscape of the region. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155. This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. My guest, Congressman Mike Waltz of Florida, member of the House Armed Services Committee, a colonel in the National Guard, and a Green Beret, decorated, served, I think, 25 years. Mike, you've served 25 years in the Army, haven't you?
I just hit 25 years, and I'm still going. Still jumping out of perfectly good airplanes.
Yeah, I stayed on the ground. Thank you for your service, and thanks for joining us. I want to move on to Russia, but I got a few more questions on China. There's some commonalities between Russia and China, and one that I focus on a lot is their religious persecution. China, of course, outshines them all when it comes to the persecution of religious minorities, but Russia is working hard to catch up to them. Of course, my talking about China has earned me the sanction of China. They've sanctioned me, but don't have to worry about going to China anytime soon. The other aspect, you didn't mention this, and this is the looks like an expansion of their nuclear capabilities. Commercial satellites have revealed about 116 new silos for ICBMs. Is that another part of Xi Jinping strengthening their military?
No, that's absolutely right. Their nuclear modernization is in full force across the board, from new long-range bombers to new submarines capable of launching ICBMs, and then their actual ground-based ICBMs in Western China. They're looking to double the size of their nuclear enterprise. It will not come near ours in size, but you don't need that many nukes, right, to hold the world at bay and to establish their own form of deterrence. But what is new is that they are modernized, while ours is approaching anywhere from 30 to 70 years old. We are woefully behind in modernizing our capabilities. One of theirs that is most concerning is called hypersonics. Think of an ICBM that goes on a predictable arc. With that geometry, we can develop capabilities to intercept it. A hypersonic vehicle is maneuverable on a glide path that can, is very difficult to detect, and then number two, it falls at speeds that are almost impossible for our missile defenses to take out. So all of those things are adds to the mix of what Chinese are doing militarily. And what has me, very frustrated with Biden, at least this week, is that today we shut down our only airbase, which is in Afghanistan, that it borders Western China. Oh, by the way, it also borders southern Russia and eastern Iran. Right. So that's our only base in the region. It has been traditionally used to go after half the world's terrorist organizations, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and others in Afghanistan. So we'll have to deal with that terrorism threat. But it also is strategically located with great power competition for all three out of our four greatest adversaries.
Well, speaking of Russia, yesterday, Vladimir Putin on a televised Q&A, taking questions from Russians. I'm sure it was not staged, but he warned the U.S. saying that our world dominance is over and threatened to strike back if any quote unquote boundaries are crossed. I'm seeing a new aggression from our foreign adversaries. Am I alone in that? Are we seeing this? And is it because they perceive weakness in America's leadership?
Well, this is going to be a repeat of exactly what we saw under Obama, because, you know, basically the number twos and number threes in the various agencies under the Obama administration are now the number ones and number twos. It's the same people with the same philosophy. Number one, you know, they believe that if we're nice to our adversaries, they'll be nice to us back. And number two, you know, the goal is to get people to the table, to the negotiating table, and they're willing to concede whatever, you know, they have to get to that negotiation. And our adversaries smell weakness. They see opportunity and advantage. And that's what I think you're seeing happen now around the world. You know, it's a weakening of deterrence. They knew President Trump would hit them back and hit them back hard. We had the capability, but, you know, do you have the political will? And you know, they smell weakness in the White House right now. With regard to Russia, that's more of a Putin problem than it is a Russia problem. And I say that because the fundamentals of Russia are inherently weak and getting weaker. Their population is declining. By 2050, it'll be smaller than Bangladesh. Their economy is incredibly poorly run by, you know, basically it's a criminal enterprise. They're wholly dependent on fossil fuels. But, you know, Putin is a master poker player that plays, you know, a pair of sixes or eights, you know, like a royal flush. He's completely, with Biden's acquiescence, now created dependencies in Western Europe with the Nord Stream pipeline. He sidelined our you know, great allies in Poland and the Ukraine by doing so. He's modernized as well key elements of his nuclear enterprise. His conventional military is relatively poorly manned and trained, but he can get away with a lot with modern nuclear weapons. So he's playing a weak hand very well. Again, when deterrence isn't established, when we don't have peace through strength, and they smell weakness in the White House, they can get away with it.
That's right. And even though he has a weak hand, sometimes that leads to some desperate actions and taking risk that others may not. Congressman Mike Waltz, so great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always great to have you.
All right. Thanks so much.
You can find out more about Michael Waltz when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We also invite you to join Tony Perkins every morning on Facebook as he shares a devotional from our two-year Bible reading plan. And you can be a part of that reading plan. Just look for details over at TonyPerkins.com.
It is important for God's children to spend time with Him in His Word, but it can be difficult to know where to start. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. That is why Family Research Council offers their Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. Read the Bible daily so you can be transformed by God's Word. Sign up today at frc.org/Bible.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. As China continues to experience higher levels of support from the Biden administration, as well as athletes and the entertainment industry, Republicans in the House of Representatives held hearings on the source of the coronavirus. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about it on Wednesday was frequent guest and China expert Gordon Chang.
Gordon, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Tony.
All right, you and I have been talking about this for a year and a half since the virus came out. You suspected. We talked about all the evidence pointed to the lab in Wuhan. That appears to be the consensus. Actually, I think it was unanimous from the experts who testified yesterday that that's where it came from.
Yeah, there's two things, Tony. First of all, there's the virus itself. SARS-CoV-2, the pathogen, it looks engineered because there are unusual combinations of amino acids. There's a double CCG sequence, which is doesn't appear in nature, which means there was gene splicing. But also there's a lot of circumstantial evidence. We have heard, for instance, three researchers from the Wuhan Institute in November 2019 fell ill with COVID-19-like symptoms and were hospitalized. This list goes on and on. So this is important because if this was a biological weapon, we have got to take action to defend ourselves.
That actually was a part of the questioning Congressman Mark Green of Tennessee asked the witnesses about the CCP submission to the Biological Weapons Convention in 2011, raising the concerns that Communist China could use genetic markers to create biological weapons.
Yes, and we know that China's working on pathogens that will attack specific ethnic genetic groups. And so that means, for instance, that the next bug from China could leave the Chinese immune, but sicken and kill everybody else, which means it could be a civilization killer. And we know that regardless of the source of SARS-CoV-2, that Chinese leader Xi Jinping took steps to deliberately spread this disease beyond China's borders, which means that he's committed an act of mass murder, which means he feels he got away with killing 3.9 million people outside of China, which means there'll be no inhibitions of spreading the next disease. And there's a lot of material from China's military itself that talks about how World War III will primarily be fought with biological weapons.
Gordon, when we talk of gain of function, and that's what we're talking about, making these viruses more lethal, is there evidence to substantiate the claims that the United States was helping in this effort through the funding of the Wuhan lab?
Yes. Well, Fauci's Institute at NIH provided grants to Echo Health Alliance, which is a New York NGO, for the purpose of sending that money on to the Wuhan Institute of Virology to conduct bat coronavirus research. Now, Fauci says that he did not authorize gain of function, but there have been papers that have been issued by researchers at the Wuhan Institute about what they did with bat coronaviruses. And it's clear that they were engaged in gain-of-function experimentation, which means that Fauci should have known that regardless of what restrictions he put on his funding, his money was used, in effect, for biological weapons research. So Fauci just was not forthcoming when he was questioned by the Senate on this, because he had to know what his research funds were being used for.
So Gordon, for the layman, and I would include myself in this, I'm not a scientist, what would be the productive benefit of the gain of function of doing this with the Communist Party of China? I mean, what did America have to gain by that?
Nothing. You don't need to be an expert. You don't need to be a virologist to know that we were engaged in funding research that should have not have been conducted in the first place. This was so dangerous that the Obama administration prohibited Americans on American soil from doing this. And what Fauci effectively did was he outsourced this to China, because he has been on record as saying that gain of function research is important. You know, that's a technical conversation. I actually think that there's no benefit for doing this. And so really what we have here is an evasion of American law.
All right. If you could find a reason to do it, I certainly wouldn't do it with the Communist Party of China, given the track record of what they've been doing to America, the threats that they pose. Why in the world would you ever partner with China?
The only reason, Tony, I think, is because China permitted this. And that's why we have a lot of American researchers and technicians going to China, because they can do there what they can't do here. And let's be clear what Fauci did. Fauci was funding China's biological weapons program. He had to know that was happening. This was wrong fundamentally. This was wrong on so many different levels.
This really, Gordon, for me, just highlights the moral implosion that is taking place in not just government, but business as well. Because, you know, you read about Nike and record sales that Nike's having, and, you know, they have benefited from slave labor in China. And you've got these American companies that are tripping over themselves to do business with China when China, I mean, this shows they don't have good intentions for the rest of the world.
Well, they certainly don't. You know, just on the issue of Nike, they had to know that through a subcontractor in Qingdao, their shoes were being made in facilities that looked like a concentration camp by Uyghur women. In other words, by people who were there, had no choice to be there. In other words, slaves. So Nike, which has the gall to lecture Americans about all sorts of things, was intentionally using slave labor of racial minorities to build their shoes.
Yeah. The height of hypocrisy. Nike can jump high when it comes to hypocrisy. They know no bounds. Let's transition, because I think these two issues are related. When you look at the potential biological threat that China poses to the rest of the world, then you look at these this is breaking news today, commercial satellite photographs that reveal over 100 new silos for ICBMs in China. What do we know about this, Gordon?
Well, there are 119 circular holes in Gansu province, which look like they're building silos for intercontinental ballistic missiles. Also, elsewhere in China, there are 26 other silos under construction. So the total is 145. Really, what China is doing here is it is developing something that it's never had before. And that is, it's always had a land-based deterrent, but their missiles, their ICBMs, land-based ICBMs, were on mobile launchers. What they're doing now is starting to put them into silos, from all we can tell. Now, these could be decoys. We don't know what they're going to do with them. But we have to assume that they're actually going to put 145 missiles into them. And for various technical reasons relating to how deterrence works, I think the land-based portion, in other words, these silos, are going to be the most critical part of China's deterrence or China's offensive capability.
Yeah, I do think we have to put out the possibility that they are silos without the missiles. I mean, this is where the art of war came from. Sun Tzu would suggest that that's a good tactic. But we also, knowing their ill intent, need to be watching this. I mean, this is if in fact these silos are going to contain ICBMs, this is a major expansion of their nuclear capabilities, is it not?
It certainly appears that, Tony. And I don't believe that these are decoy silos for a number of reasons. But in any event, China has not been transparent like the Soviets were. The Soviets were actually fairly transparent about their nuclear weapons capability. The Chinese are refusing to discuss this either with Russia or the United States. And, you know, we have a lot of Americans who say, oh, the United States, by modernizing its nuclear forces, is engaging in an arms race. No, we're not. We're just trying to modernize weapons that have not been updated for decades. So we've got a real problem here, and China is fueling this. But, you know, clearly these silos are an indication that we've got to go ahead with our land-based modernization efforts, because China certainly looks like they're developing a whole new capability with these 145 silos.
Other reasons that you believe these are not decoys, but they're the real thing?
Yes, and the reason is that there is a lot of discussion and controversy over the modernization of the U.S. land-based deterrent, the third leg of the triad. And so if for China to actually start building silos, what they're doing is they're strengthening the arguments of those Americans who want to update our land-based deterrent. That doesn't make sense for China if they were just having decoys. So, you know, I don't know China's intentions, of course, but we have to assume that these are real and that they're probably going to be more of them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was looking back, you know, we've seen since the first of the year a number of military commanders intel community as well, briefing Congress. And of course, they are elusive in specifics. But repeatedly, we see China as being identified as the greatest military threat to the United States. Of course, they often talk about the economic, they talk about the cyber. But I'm wondering if the military had, in the intel community, had this, you know, before the commercial satellites picked it up. And that is a part of why they are warning about the threat of China.
Well, I certainly hope that they picked it up before the rest of us saw it. You know, right now, the Pentagon is scrambling because for decades, in responding to political pressure from presidents, really ignored the China threat. And even today, you have President Biden saying the number one military threat to the U.S. is climate change. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
The number one threat to the United States is China, because China denies our sovereignty and is challenging U.S. forces in the global commons and is rapidly modernizing their military to where the point is, in many places, their military is far stronger than ours.
Yeah, that if it were not so dangerous, it would be laughable. That global warming is the greatest threat. And the president has repeated that over and over. So it wasn't like it was a stumble or a misstatement. He has repeated it. The Pentagon has picked it up. And that kind of stuff can be deadly when you look at what is happening in China. I have to say, I'm more concerned about the biological threat that China poses through additional viruses than I am the nuclear. We can watch the nuclear. We can't see the viruses and how they might release them.
Yes, you know, and before it became known that there was widespread coronavirus infection in China, there are these reports, unconfirmed, but there are reports that there were all sorts of Chinese agents that came into the United States. And that raises a number of questions. Were they fleeing the virus? Were they spreading it? We don't know. But we do know the maliciousness of the Chinese system. Clearly what China did was, and this is the first time in history, Tony, that one nation has attacked all the others. And now, as we mentioned, we've got almost 4 million people who have succumbed to this disease, where that should not have spread beyond China's borders in the first place.
We need answers, and we need them now, as the GOP members have said in Congress. Gordon, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. Always great to talk with you. Very insightful. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.